The scriptures reading this morning will be taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Be reading from the King James Version. And the Bible reads, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. You'll see the QR code behind me. You'll see the notes that we'll be considering for this morning. Anytime you talk about the family, especially in a mixed setting, and what I mean by mixed is that you have so many different situations and circumstances that go on, that it's difficult for everyone to receive something from the actual lesson. But when we consider the Word of God is designed to help all of us, no matter where we are in life. And even if we are past the stage of perhaps child rearing, or perhaps we have lost a spouse, we are still in position to receive encouragement, still in a position to receive exhortation, and even correction from the Word of God, that we may be able to help others, keeping in mind that the Word of God is not just for us, but it is for those in whom we come in contact with. And so I want us to consider a few things on this morning as it relates to focusing on the family, because when we think about the family and we consider our nation and the world, and we think about the direction that it is going in and have been going in for a few years, long time. In the church, we understand that the family is still vital. In the community, the family is still vital. In the world, the family is still vital. And as our dear brother Randy said in his prayer, it is actually the first institution that God put upon the earth. And when we consider this, we ought to be a people who understand that the family must be focused upon. As grandparents, we must focus upon our families. As foster parents, we must focus upon our families. And even if we don't have children, we must focus upon others to help them, perhaps to help them to go in directions that we should have went in, or perhaps we went in a good direction and we want to help others go in the same. And so hopefully we will be encouraged this month as we talk about the family. And so I want us to consider Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through verse number 21 that was read in our hearing. And I appreciate our dear brother reading that, because there are so many things in there, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, that I believe is worthy of our attention. Brethren, when we consider the family, we know that God is the one that created the family. We know that when he created the man, he put him to sleep and brought forth the woman, and the woman came forth from his side, and we know that they immediately became a family. They had children. We understand that the first children that they had was Cain and Abel, and then they would have Seth and others. However, we know that they were responsible for rearing that family, and the family has been procreating ever since the way that God would have it to go. But how can we focus on our family today? Four things I want us to consider. Number one, by relying upon God's understanding and not ours. That's difficult. Why? Because sometimes we are influenced by people and things of the world, the things that we catch on the internet, and perhaps, you know, we can go to that rather than going to the one that created the family. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? To go to his word. And so when we go to his word, we understand that his word is going to direct us on how to conduct our family, how to conduct ourselves as husbands, as fathers, as mothers, as wives. We understand that we must rely upon the word of God. And so we hear this sometimes. Well, you know, children don't come with a handbook. Brethren, why would God give us children and not give us the Word of God to help us with them? And He has given us the Word of God to help us with the children, help us with even ourselves, even those who are around us. And so when we consider this, God has given us roles to play. He has given us roles to remain within. And anytime you step outside of that role, you're going to have some issues. And so it depends on how close we stay to the roles that God has given us in the Bible, the Word of God. And so I want us to talk about the roles that God has blessed us to be in. So in Colossians chapter 3, 18 through 21, we understand that wives must be submissive to their husbands. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you take notice of something in Ephesians chapter 5, turn your Bibles there and look at verse number 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. When you submit to your husband, you're actually submitting to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Is that what your Bible say, Brother Chad? It says everything. That's difficult. Why? That's not the times we live in. Why? I don't know. But the Bible is right. And when we consider, when we focus on the family and just do what God will have us to do, brethren, sisters, life gets a little bit easier. But it's a lot easier to submit to a man that is submissive to God. Amen. This is why every man must submit himself to God, God the Father. And it's so important for the man to remain in his role, to actually actively take on the leadership role. Even in the garden, we find the man leaving his role. We have the serpent who is not listening to anyone. We have the woman who is listening to the serpent. And we have the man who is listening to the wife. But when we stop and consider this, when we don't listen to God, this is when we find ourselves in trouble. So we want to make sure that we remain in the roles in which God has given us. Going back to Colossians chapter 3, if you notice in the King James or New King James, it says fit or fitting in the Lord, which requires a duty. It's a duty to do these things. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them or against them. It is so easy, if you're not careful, to be bitter against your wife. I know that. I've been there before. I understand that. The last thing you want to do is be bitter, to have that mentality that whatever she does, it doesn't matter. It's not right. We don't want that attitude. When we focus on the family like we're supposed to, we want to make sure that we have the right attitude, lest our hearts become hard. Remember when Jesus was talking to those in Pharisees and those religious leaders in Matthew chapter 19, and Jesus would say something as relates to marriage. And Moses, and he said, because of the hardness of your heart. So easy to harden your heart, meaning that you're not going to listen to anything. Husbands, let's not be that way. Why? Because we don't want to be bitter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? This is right. It is right to obey your parents. It is right for parents to give their children instruction, to put them in the position to obey. But Brother Mike, you don't understand. My child just doesn't listen. Well, put them in a position to obey. Give them incentive to listen, to obey. Why? Because when you do that, then God will be pleased with them. And they can live a life on the earth. And then people would want to be around them. Don't rear your children in a way that when they get older, nobody want to be around them. And that happens. Why? Because they're not being brought up the way that they need to be brought up. But I want us to take notice of 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if we're going to focus on the family, I love 1 Peter chapter 1. And really it's 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know what I was thinking. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word, notice, may be won by the conduct, by their conversation, the King James renders, by their actions, when they observe your chaste conduct, when you are being looked at and viewed as one that is holy and right, striving to do that which is righteous before God, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by reverence. Do not let your adorning be merely outward, the arranging of the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine clothing. Brethren, do we see this? So many people focus so much on what they're wearing. So many sisters, so many ladies focus on what they're wearing. Men, they focus so much on what they're wearing. But notice what he goes on to say by inspiration. Rather, he's going to the other side. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet. I believe the King James renders a meek and quiet spirit. How meek are we? How quiet are we? That's not the way the world not the world we're living in today. Very boisterous people, boisterous women. That should not be the case. It should be the case where a sister, a woman, especially a sister in Christ, is humbling herself under the mighty hand of God and able to live her life in a way where she is very active, yet not loud. A meek and quiet spirit. But notice what Peter says by inspiration, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Brethren, that's not male chauvinism. Sisters, that's not male chauvinism. God said that. It's very, very precious in my sight, he says, when a sister is meek and quiet. Notice who he likens her unto. For in this time, or manner of time, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Evelyn calls me Lord with a little L. When she first started saying that, I got upset. Because I'm like, you ain't right saying it like that. All right, Lord with a little L. Well, hold on. But I can't be Big L, because that's the Lord Jesus. So it makes sense. Notice the respect that Sarah had for Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. But notice verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Brethren, do you know that the way that you treat your spouse is the way that God sees you? That if a man doesn't treat his wife correctly, according to this verse, God doesn't even hear his prayer. His prayers are hindered. He must dwell with her according to understanding. Here's the question. Do I want God to hear me? If I want him to hear me, then I must dwell properly. I must dwell with understanding. I must dwell the right way. But if you notice in the phrase, heirs together, this is why, brethren, it is proper for us to marry those who are in the faith, Christians, so we can be heirs together, an heir of Jesus Christ, one who is receiving the benefits of God the Father through Jesus Christ, those who are saved together, so we can be walking in the same direction, remaining in the roles of Christianity. It's so important for us to understand that. But let's transition real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, try to make this as balanced as possible, because when we consider, especially the family, it requires every aspect of the family. I don't believe that there's not one aspect that God has not
taught on, not communicated. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we are confronted with marriage and how marriage is supposed to be. Look at verse 1 and 2 real quick. Now concerning the things of which I wrote to you, which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of fornication, the King James renders, sexual immorality, the New King James renders, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. God doesn't want male and females coming together and they're not married, having sexual intercourse. That's the text. Brother Royce, I believe America needs to hear that. The pulpit needs to proclaim that. Why? Because God put the sexual relationship in marriage, not outside of marriage. Now, when we consider this, you drop down to verse number 32. Notice what Paul here says. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. Evelyn and I talked about this years ago. When you think about being single, you're trying to rush to get married. And depends on how marriage is. Anyway, let me come back off of that. But when you're single, you're trying to rush to get married. But really, when you're single, you ought to be focused upon the Lord. You ought to be giving your time and your attention and your mentality to the Lord. Whether you're on the front side of marriage or the back side of marriage. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? On the front side of marriage, that you've never been married before. On the back side of marriage, perhaps you lost a spouse. You ought to be focused upon the Lord. Sometimes we're so focused on getting someone that we don't focus enough on the Lord. But notice what he says. But he who is married cares about the things of the world and how he may please his wife. He's concerned about his economic security. He's concerned about the things of this particular time frame and pleasing his wife. But notice verse 34. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. And the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in mind. There's one thing, and we need to be teaching our young people this. Young people, y'all hear me, please. There's one thing to be a virgin physically, but if you have sex and those unclean things on your mind constantly, then you don't fit the second part of this passage. Make sure that your mind is pure. In Titus 1 verse 15, to the pure all things are pure. But to him that is defiled, nothing is pure, even his mind and conscience. God is always trying to keep our conscience as pure as possible. And so we think on heavenly things, Colossians 3, the first couple of passages there. So important that we teach our young people and as parents put our children in a position that they're not viewing everything online. Be careful, parents. Be careful what your children are seeing and listening to. Be careful. When I was a kid, on the time in which I lived, the 90s, the thing that they really tried to keep us away from was rap music. And they say that rap music was destroying the minds of the children. Of course, I listened to rap music and I didn't believe it. Well, you know, there was a lot of truth to that, Tobias. And if you really want to know what I'm talking about, come see me after and I'll tell you. Because there were some things that I used to have in my head because of the music that I listened to that just didn't come out right in my actions. Parents, pay attention to what your children are listening to. Pay attention to what they're viewing. Pay attention to the algorithms. Pay attention to the YouTube videos. Pay attention. Husbands, pay attention. Wives, pay attention. Why? Because, letter C, we want to reach our full potential. And brethren, we can reach our full potential. Our families, people on the outside of spirituality and religion and Christianity, the Lord's church, ought to be able to see. That's different right there. And I truly believe that the home is the greatest evangelism tool that God has given us. Why? Because you can see the relationship between the husband and the wife and how the children are manifesting themselves inside of that relationship as they work through issues, work through concerns, work through problems, work righteousness, work holiness. They get to work all of those things. But it requires us leaning on this understanding and not our own. I find it also interesting, and I don't knock counseling at all. As a matter of fact, my daughter is one. I don't knock it at all. However, the greatest counselor is Jehovah God himself through Jesus Christ. And we got 66 books that we can go to. 66 books in their proper context, and we can go to them and we can think things through. It does not mean that we can't go to someone who has a special skill. But brethren, friends, we ought to be able to go to the Word of God and think about that and think on that. I believe that it is an affront to God to think that we ought to be able to go to someone who is specialized in a particular area rather than the Word of God. If anything, we go to the Word of God and those who specialize in those areas as a supplemental. And so we want to reach our full God-given potential. Go to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 29, we see something that's very encouraging. We see that one can reach the highest love. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. When a husband loves his wife, it's like Christ loving the church, the highest love. That's the highest love that someone can ever be involved with or involved in or be part of. As we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And you think of wives submitting, the greatest submission. And if you really consider the greatest submission, it's us submitting our will to the will of the Father. Let me make this one little quick point. The more I was considering this and thinking about this, we as the church of our Lord, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, we are submitting to our head. And I find that very powerful because the one in whom we're submitting to, Jesus Christ, submits to his head. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he himself has not done. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow me or imitate me just as I imitate Christ. But you drop down to verse number 3 and notice what the Bible here communicates to us. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is who? God. So even God has Christ underneath him, and Christ has man below him, and man has woman below him. And so God is not asking us to do anything that his son hasn't done, and his son is not asking us to do anything that he himself is still not doing. He's still submitting to his Father at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the greatest submission, but also the most sincere honor. Look at Ephesians 6. I want to show you something. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 1, parents, do yourself a favor. Start young, Maya, Mark. Start young, Michaela, Scott. Start young, Tobias, Olivia. Start young. Put scripture in your children's mind. Start young. Read to them the word of God young. allow them to see the Word of God young. We know that they can do it. We know that they can perform it. Why? Because we can put them in the hands of a good coach and we see them activate. We see them run. We see them be active. Even at the age of the 5, 6, 7, and 8, we see them and they're performing great things so young. So in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Brethren, it is so important for us to be talking to people in the world. And sometimes the greatest evangelism point that we can make with people is concerning the home, the family. And so we need to remember those things. But let's make this final little point right here. We need to remember to keep the church close. One thing that we told our children growing up, stay as close to the church as possible. It's the greatest resource you'll have. Sometimes we think the greatest resource is having our banker or our lawyer on speed dial. No, the greatest resource you have is the church of our Lord. Amen, brethren. You're going to receive a lot of wisdom, encouragement, correction, instruction, right here. Now, the world that we live in today, when we correct one another, you don't like me. No, really, if you love correction, look at Proverbs 9. Let's look at verse 8. If you love correction, you're such a wise person. If you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Reprove a scorner. If you just correct a scorner, he'll hate you. Have you ever corrected someone and they hated you for it? Mm-hmm. But if you rebuke a wise one, man, thank you. And so when our children were young, we constantly said, why do you have an attitude? Why do you have that attitude? Proverbs 9, verse 8, go read that. Why, Daddy? Because you need to read it. And when they read it, right, which one do you want to be? I want to be wise. I want you to be wise. Why? Because I want you to be in a position that it's not just me correcting you, but even someone who is on your job, someone on the street, someone in law enforcement, someone who is in banking, someone who is in real estate. It doesn't matter. If you put yourself in a position to be corrected, you'll be a wise one. But if you have the mentality, well, no one can correct me, I know it all, then you're going to have a hard life. We've got to focus on these principles and help our families. Because the world that we live in, for some reason, you gather all of this education, all this knowledge, and you have no experience, yet you know all things. That's not the case, brethren. I also make this point too. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It took me about 10 years to start listening to Evelyn. That's a long time of making some bad decisions. Listen to your wives. Wives, listen to your husbands. And ultimately, we need to listen to Christ. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to encourage each other. We're not always right. The husband is not always right. The wife is not always right. Sometimes the children, because they're so innocent, because their minds are so pure, they don't have things convoluting and corrupting their minds. Sometimes we just need to listen to them because they have a better understanding than even some of us at times. I was talking to my mother a few weeks back, and I was telling her about the conversation that Maya and I had. And I was on my way to College Station, and we was talking, had a bad day that day. And I just sat there, and I listened. And I said, told my mom, like, man, all those years of putting stuff in her, I kind of reaped from that. Friends, that's what you want. Teach your children so when they get older, they teach you. Amen. They encourage you. They help you. They honor you. But the old people used to say when I was a kid, no deposit, no return. That's true. You put nothing in, what? You get nothing out. You put something in, you'll get something out. Deuteronomy chapter 6, last point.
Brother Mike, your lesson only has 2 points. That's unscriptural. I know. Sorry, Brother Ryan. I'll just make it long. We'll just make it some long points, okay? They'll be equivalent to 3 points. Some tips to help along the way. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, children of Israel were receiving the second giving of the law. And so God is now ready to take them into what is known as the promised land of Canaan. And so he had given them the law in Exodus 20, codified it, and then he ratified it with blood in Exodus 24 and verse number 8. And so a covenant is not a covenant unless it has blood attached to it. And so here, now God is about to take them into the promised land of Canaan, and he's given the second generation of the children of Israel instruction. And at times, brethren, we need to take this principle, because you will tell yourself as a parent, I told you that 2 weeks ago. I told you that a month ago. I told you that a year ago. God has always reminded his people. He reminded adults. So if we got to remind adults, you know, you got to remind kids. You got to constantly remind kids. You got to constantly say, hey, I told you this last week. I'm going to tell you again. Here, God, this is the second giving of the law. God said, I'm going to give it to you again, but I'm going to give it to your children. And so starting in verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter 6, now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord. This is why God wanted them to know the word of God, the second given of the law, that they may reverence God, that they may fear him, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons and all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers had promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Use and talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I'm just going to leave it just like that, because y'all are intelligent enough to know what he said. Brethren, men, that's our responsibility. It is the man's responsibility to make sure that his children know God. Well, what about the wife? What about the mother? God made the man the leader. The wife is there to help. It is the man's responsibility. And so it makes sense that our nation, as great and blessed as we are, our nation focused on taking the man out of the home. Do you know that in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, in order to receive government benefits, a man could not be in the home? Brother Lance, that was intentional. The man can't be in the home. If you get government benefits, the man couldn't be in the home. Well, hold on. Then who teaches the children? And here's God on the other side saying, leave the government benefits alone if you can't be there to rear your children. Amen. But when we consider the home, brethren, let's do our part as grandparents, as friends, as family. Let's help one another
bring up the children with the Word of God. For the Word of God will stabilize the family. Praying and singing with one another and talking about the Word of God will stabilize the home. I guarantee you, when you find issues like that, look at the head. Look at the head. If we can just get the head in order, we can focus on the head. If the head can focus on his head is Christ. Oh, we'll see some things that are just marvelous. And so, I want us to consider, when is the last time you had prayer in your home? When is the last time you had a devotional in your home? When is the last time you gathered the family and prayed and sung and talked about the Word of God in the home? Well, Brother Mike, I don't have a wife. Well, then you start by yourself, so when that day comes, then you're already being practiced. When's the last time? And if the head is not, if the husband is not, then the wife should say, baby, we need to get back to, or we need to be doing this, and we need to be going over the Word of God. There's one thing to come to worship as a family. We can even sit together as a family. However, we need to go home and be that family and talk about the Word of God. And so the father must lead in the way. The mother must exercise wisdom in the home. She must exercise the wisdom from God, Titus 2, verse 4 and 5. She is the one that's going to keep the family together. The husband is going to lead it. The wife is going to keep it together. The mother's going to keep it together. The children need to hear and learn about life. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we come to some type of closure. And notice how Paul uses the relationship between a mother and a father as his relationship with the church at Thessalonica. I hope this is challenging us. I hope we're seeing that there is a seriousness, and the world that we live in, for some reason, just kind of grasping in the dark, in the air, trying to find ways and ideas and instruction. Yet the Word of God, as God is just screaming, Proverbs chapter 8, the wisdom of God is screaming in the concourse, saying, hey, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse number 7, notice what Paul says about the apostleship. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Why? Because you have become near and dear to us. But notice what he says about the Father. Drop down to verse number 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Fathers are supposed to charge their children. Children are supposed to listen to their fathers. I remember telling a young man before, I said, how old is your child? 4. Well, you want to tell them and have command now, so when they turn 14 and that little boy is doing things to them that you don't want them to do, that she'll listen to you then. But you got to take control now. And brethren, these are hard words. It's tough. It's tough. But we got to focus. Because if not, the world around us, well, my responsibility is to make sure that they eat and that they have something over their head as it relates to shelter. Not according to God. According to God, God wants nourishment. God wants cherishing. God wants us to instruct. God wants us to spend time. God wants us to love. God wants us to be affectionate. That's what God wants. And so this direction must be intentional. Look at Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, spiritual direction is intentional. It's not something that's going to happen just by happenstance. And I'll go on record to tell you that it's not just going to happen just by you showing up on Sunday and Wednesday. It's not just going to happen. Brethren, you have to be intentional. Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's intentional. He's trying to get into the hearts of our children, trying to wreck our families, trying to destroy the church, yea, the nation. And even the world is catching up now. Even the world sees that our children are not listening. Teachers are catching havoc. Why? Because there's no instruction at home. And when there's no instruction at home, teachers are catching havoc because they can't instruct at home, instruct at school. And so, as Joshua would say in Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse number 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and truth. There's your divine commentary on John 4, verse number 24, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We ought to teach our children that when you go to worship, you need to be sincere. You need to be paying attention. Don't be falling asleep. Don't be playing. And this is not the time for your children to be playing. This is the time for them to understand there's a time for everything in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for that. So when you get out on the playground, I'm not going to put a Bible in your hand when you're out there playing basketball. So I shouldn't bring the basketball here. Wow. There's a time for everything. So here he says, serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now, keep in mind, when you look at this idea of serve, Joshua, he uses this all through Joshua chapter 24. Serve, 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 serve. This was a man that had command in his home who wanted to make sure that his children and his family were going in the right direction. He was intentional about it. Then in verse 15, and if it seems evil to you, no, he's talking to a nation here, to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, notice the command decision he makes. We're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't sound like the wife was sitting there saying, we ain't going to do that. No, we're going to serve the Lord here. In our house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Which means that there are some things you ain't going to allow in your house. You got to go. Why? Because we serve the Lord here. We ain't smoking weed in our house. We ain't drinking in our house. We ain't looking at porn in our house. We ain't doing all that here. No, we're not doing that here. You got to go. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. No, they got to go. That's tough. I know how it is. It's hard. But if you're going to focus on the family, you got to focus on God first. And so you got to have those things in line first. Look at Judges chapter 11. Joshua judges. Judges chapter 11, verses 29 through verse number 35. Keep your word. If you're going to stand up, if you're going to do what is right, if you tell your children you're going to do something, do it. Do not get into the habit of telling your child we're going to do this, but don't do it. They won't trust you when they get older, I promise you. Keep your word. Keep your word. All you have is your word. I had a young brother just 2 weeks ago. I said, man, I'm going to call you before the day is up. Man, I'm in bed, man. Got my CPAP on. When the CPAP comes on, I'm going to bed. Hey, brother, yeah. Hey, you said you was going to call me, so I just put you in a position to keep your word. I'm like, I appreciate it. Brethren, did you get that? We need to put our position, our children in position to make sure that they keep their word. And we need to put our children in a position by teaching them to put us in a position to keep our word toward them too. And so, every Sunday, your children ought to know where you're going to be. Amen. Bible class, 9:30. They ought to know we're going to be here. 10:30. We're going to be here. 5 o'clock, Bible class, we're going to be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to be here. Sometimes we need our children to remind us, I thought we were going. No, you take the lead. You be here. Or wherever you may attend, you be there. You grow up, you have your own family, they're going to see that pattern. You be there. You be there. You give someone your word, keep your word. Keep your covenant. So in Joshua, Judges chapter 11, verse 29 to 35, notice. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, And he passed through Gilead and Manasseh and passed through Mizpah and Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. Listen to this. And said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hand, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon, fought against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. He defeated them from Aroer as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel Kelamnin with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Watch this. Jephthah came to the house at Mizpah. There was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord and I cannot go back. She said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has been done, to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon. And she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. Here's the point that I'm making. Give your word to the Lord, keep it. Tell your children, hey, this is what we're going to do. I gave my word to the Lord. We got to do this. Give your word to your spouse, keep your word. Your word to your children, keep your word. Don't get into the habit of not keeping your word. Keep your word. This world out here don't care about keeping their word. They'll lie to you in a New York minute, Brother Royce. And won't think nothing of it. That should not be the case with the Lord's people, with the family. Do your part. Keep your word. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, hallowed be your name. You're good to us, Father, and for that we're thankful. Help us to focus upon family this month. Help us to focus upon one another, your word. Help us to be a people who are striving to keep the first, to make sure that thy name is glorified. Father, forgive us when we fail thee, when we sin against thee. Help us to be a people who are striving to just be holy, be right before you. Father, we know that the world around us don't know what family is, doesn't know what it looks like, have made up their own definitions of family, but not you, Father. You have not changed. Just as your son, you're the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to be like that. Help us to make corrections. Help us to see the things that we have not done right and just simply make them right and do what's right from this point forward. Help us to not be ashamed to ask for help, to ask for encouragement, to ask for wisdom. Help us to long for what is right. Forgive us, Father, when we fail thee, when our imaginations and our understanding are not in the right place. Help us to be motivated to do thy will. Help our actions to be right. Help us to think on the right things, to be the right people. Father, I ask that you just continue to be with all of us, striving to do that which is right. Father, we ask that you be with this congregation. Help us to be family, able to talk to one another and pour out our hearts to each other, knowing that we're caring for one another and we know that you care for us. Forgive us, Father, again, in Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so important. The reason why is because it's what puts us in Christ. It's the power of God into salvation. If you want to be saved, if you want to be delivered from sin, then you have to obey the gospel. What is that? The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, Mark 1, 14 and 15. When you obey that gospel, God does something amazing in your life. He forgives you for all of your past sins. He clears your conscience from dead works. Now you can serve God. Bring your family. Let them learn about God so they can obey the gospel too. And when they obey that gospel, God will do something amazing in their life too. He'll put them in a position to have all their sins washed away, be added to a family called the Lord's church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Be faithful. And God will give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God, well, you need special prayer. Well, y'all pray for me because I need it. So you can start with me. Because all of us can always do better. But we need help doing better. For some reason, God gave us a family to help us do better together. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.